I'm Lance Carter, and you're listening to the Daily Actor Interview Podcast. The Chicago Code, Sean Ryan's great new show on Fox, stars Jennifer Beals as Teresa Colvin. She's Chicago's first female superintendent. She and her ex-partner, Jarek Wysocki, who's played by Jason Clark, they band together to take down their enemies, including Alderman Ronan Gibbons, who's played by Delroy Lindo. I got a chance to talk with Jennifer on a conference call, where she talked about coming back to series television, her ride-alongs with the Chicago PD, and what she thinks the L Word did for her career. This site takes a lot of work, so I really do appreciate it when you support our advertisers. And now, here's Jennifer.
I'm wondering, this season, do we ever get out of her uniform, so to speak, like in her personal life?
There is an episode where it deals with her family, and so you do see her personal life in that episode, and you get little glimpses of it every now and again, but really this is a person who has dedicated everything to their job, for better or for worse, and towards the end of the season you start to see the toll that that takes on her personally.
And is that something that you enjoyed as an actor, like tapping into the challenge of bringing it all into the office, so to speak?
Yes, at times it gets grueling. I mean, there are times I just wish they had a scene with me drunk and, you know, at a bar. That would be great.
Or karaoke or something, I don't know.
Right. It gets grueling, and it made me realize that for her it's got to be grueling.
I wanted to just ask you, what was it about this part that made you want to kind of return to series television?
Well, I found it so interesting to play somebody who was, you know, walking into uncharted territory in a way. I mean, she's really creating the template for this job, being the first female superintendent, and I just thought it would be very interesting to take that walk and to what kind of leader does she become in that position, and how do you balance your personal life with the demands of that kind of job, and I thought the relationship to Jarek was also interesting. You know, it's a very interesting line that we walk between intimacy and respect and being able to tell the truth to one another and goading one another and making each other laugh. I just thought that could potentially be interesting. And of course for me, you know, working with Sean Ryan was a real lure because I really admire his writing and I admire the way that he works with his team of writers as well.
Could you just talk a little bit about what you think the L Word did for your career? Did it change the way you thought about TV or, you know, different roles or became available to you, or what do you think it did?
Well, it's interesting. Thank you for asking that question. It certainly prepared me for this role. I mean, playing Bette Porter, you know, somebody who was so driven and single-minded sometimes and very strong and righteous at times, certainly helped prepare me for this role. I mean, definitely Teresa is much more physically confident than Bette is, and as far as I can tell so far, is deeply heterosexual. But being part of the L Word made me realize how much more television can be than what I had experienced in my lifetime in terms of being able to be of service to people. You know, I had so many fans come up to me who were really deeply appreciative of the show and what it had meant for them and their own sense of identity and their own sense of inclusion in our society and in our culture.
I was wondering how important it was for you that this was set in Chicago and if that, you know, sort of helped you in your decision to do it, and how's it been sort of being able to be the guide for your co-stars while you...
I said to my manager when pilot season came up last year, I said, you know, you basically have two cities. You have Vancouver and Chicago, because those are the places that I can imagine spending long periods of time with my family. And so when this series came up, I was very excited. I was very excited because of Sean and the part, and because I got to go back to my hometown. Because I love the city. I think it's so beautiful, and the people are so great. And I don't know how much I introduced people to the studio. What I did do is when everybody first arrived, as far as the cast goes, I gave them all a copy of the Chicago poems, the Sandburg poems.
Mm-hmm.
Because I really do think that poem, Chicago, paints a pretty accurate portrait of the city. I mean, there's so many things that we've added now in terms of the beauty of the skyscrapers and downtown, that there's this aspect to the city that really is like a brazen fighter, you know.
Tell me a bit about the kind of research you were able to do into the police in Chicago and how they work.
Well, we were able to do ride-alongs with a homicide detective, so you could go out all night in the car with your in a Kevlar vest. You sign a piece of paper, and you're able to see all kinds of things. You know, you get to see what they deal with day in and day out, how to set up a crime scene. We got to go to the shooting range. I was able to talk to some people who had more administrative positions to try to understand what that part of my job would be like. You know, there's lots of things on the internet. The superintendent of Chicago has a blog that he has for everybody that's accessible to everybody. I started boxing.
Boxing?
And the physicality of it, the sort of aggressive kind of yang thing that can go on.
What did you see when you did your nights riding along?
I saw lots of things. One on the more comic side was a woman who refused to put her shirt on in a fried chicken place, restaurant, who just kept taking her shirt off. She clearly had not been taking her meds, and she thought I was Obama's sister and that I should somehow save her. And on the more tragic side was, you know, Ruth being the first to respond to a man who had been shot, who was about to bleed to unconsciousness on somebody's front stoop. And, you know, watching how the ambulances weren't the first to arrive. It was really the fire department were there. I mean, the police were the first to arrive, but, you know, the ambulances didn't get there for, gosh, I don't know, like 20 minutes or something. And had this person been relying simply on the ambulances, they probably would have died. But the fire department came and helped him medically, and at that time I was able to see how the police department sets up the crime scene, being able to follow the trail of blood to figure out where he would have been shot, where the shooter would have been, and looking for the evidence of shell casings, which I helped the detectives find. The first ride-along was much more shocking, you know, and then as time goes by and you spend time playing the part and you spend more time getting information, it's not so shocking. And, you know, I grew up on the south side of Chicago. It was not the first time that I've seen bullet holes in cars. It was not the first time I've seen shell casings. And it's frankly not the first time I've seen anybody shot. So what was shocking, really, was that there was a group gathered around this man before he got taken away in the ambulance, who were all very upset that he had been shot. And it was really clear that there were people there who knew who shot him, and that it was a gang-related incident, but that nobody would come forward with any information. That was shocking. What's shocking is to see six-year-old children jump roping in the street at 2 a.m. Mm-hmm. You know, that's shocking, you know, a block away from drug dealers you know, just to see that the gap in the circle is education.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in my mind, primarily for young women, and because it's the young women that are raising the kids, and that's where the circle, I think, perpetuates itself. To me, that's more shocking than seeing somebody shot.
So Teresa is such a strong character. In what ways does she test your own strength in new ways?
Oh gosh, the notion again. I think somebody asked a question earlier of having to devote everything to this job, having to live that within the part, and I think testing my own strength of having to kind of suppress what are stereotypically more feminine kind of values or female values, like, you know, nurturing and inclusion and all these things. Because I think really early on in her leadership, as much as she'd like to be inclusive, as much as she'd like to share information, she doesn't, because it would be perceived as weak and could perhaps put her in a position of weakness, because that is not the nature of the system that she's now a part of. And that was trying sometimes to maintain some kind of balance between, you know, more masculine values and feminine values. That was really trying sometimes.
Can you talk about specifically the role of a woman and, you know, the role that your character is playing? And did you talk to other women who were in roles of power in Chicago or just in the police force in general?
I did talk to other women. I mean, you know, obviously it's a very interesting position to be a woman who's in charge of a department or several bureaus who are primarily men. And even to get to ascend to the point where she's even been nominated for the position, because certainly she doesn't get I don't think anybody intended for her to initially have this position. You know, there were two other men, older men, who had the position before her, and through their own misfortune, she ended up actually becoming superintendent. I really believe that she was probably the token candidate, and then, you know, is believed to be, a wonderful, or not wonderful, but potentially a puppet for some of the aldermen. And they are surprised by the fact that she's not a puppet, or not the kind of puppet that they would want, certainly. Having said that, her ascension, I think, comes through expertise. You know, she's been in, I think, lots of different departments within the Chicago Police Department. You know, she's, you know, started out as the officer, as a B cop, you know, was in tactical, was in homicide. You know, she knows a lot of different departments, and which is a feasible idea. So I think that she does have a great deal of respect among her fellow officers, but you would be naive to think that, you know, to be able to ascend to that kind of level isn't without cost. You know, she's got to be a bit of a badass to get to run that gamut, and I think it's cost her personal life. It's you know, everything is about this job, and I think it's you know, if we're fortunate enough to be picked up, you'll see even more how problematic that. Yeah.
Do you feel you're up to the challenges of the role, and were there any reservations when you first received the script?
If I didn't feel I was up to the challenges of the role, I certainly wouldn't have taken it, because I wouldn't want to disappoint myself or anybody else. And I knew that I had a great writing team, and I knew that with John Foligno, Detective Foligno, as our technical advisor, that I would have a lot of help in terms of preparing for the role. So even though in the beginning of shooting I was really, sometimes at a loss as to what to do, to try to comprehend the role is pretty extraordinary. Like, there's so much that the superintendent does, and to be the first female superintendent is a lot to take on your plate. So there were so many things that I had questions about that nobody could answer for me, because there had never been a female superintendent in Chicago. So I, like Teresa, was kind of making things up as I went along, you know, trying to find my way. And so that's the first part of the question. What was the second part of the question again?
I wanted to know if you had any reservations.
Oh, gosh, no. No reservations at all. I thought it was a great part, and I think Sean is an amazing writer and leader, so there, I have no reservations about it at all.
Read the Chicago Code will bring in various directors over the course of the season. What is that like for you as an actress? Does it kind of bring a fresh take to the series each time, you know, a new pair of eyes are on it?
Yes, it's fun. I mean, we had lots of great directors on The L Word as well, so it was, you know, it's fun. You get to experience your character sometimes in a new way. You get a fresh pair of eyes on the city and on the relationships within the show. So it's a lot of fun.
What was it like getting to work with the cast? Did you find that the chemistry between you all gelled instantly, or did you all take a bit of time to fit together?
I think it was pretty quick, you know. Everybody has a pretty good sense of humor, so, you know, and
everybody gelled pretty quickly. I had a in the beginning of the pilot, you know, Jason and I got along really well, and we talked about work all the time. We had, you know, it was great. We had a great relationship, but we didn't, you know, we didn't really spend time outside of work together or anything. And then I had to take a flight to, gosh, where was I going? L.A. to New York, that's what it was. And it just so happened that he was sitting next to me for the duration of the flight. And it was really like the first time that we sat and talked personally. And it was great, you know. I mean, we get along well, and, you know, people are very silly on set quite often. I think not unlike the Chicago Police Department, where there's a certain gallows humor to get through the day, I think that's also true of many sets. I think a lot of directors were surprised at how it seemed more like maybe a comedic musical on set than a drama, but... yeah, everybody got along well instantly, pretty much.
I have a question. With all of the outdoor shots that you guys do on the show, do you end up doing a lot of ADR with that? Like, what's your schedule like as far as that goes?
I haven't done a lot of ADR, not so far. And we've been doing ADR for stuff that's inside, too, frankly. But there is... actually, I'm just thinking back to my last ADR session. There was quite a few scenes that were outside that needed to be looped. And that's fine. I'm one of those weird actors that really enjoys looping. I get a kick out of it. I think sometimes you can make a scene better if you really pay attention.
Thanks, Jennifer, and thank you guys for listening. Keep coming back to Daily Actor for more great interviews, news from TV, film, and theater, and so much more. Thanks for supporting the advertisers. I'm Lance, and I'll talk to you soon.